بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد سيد الأولين والآخرين وعلى جميع إخوانه من النبيين والمرسلين وآل كل وصحب كل ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. All praise is due to Allah, and may Allah raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and protect his nation from that which he fears for them. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let us first have the proper intention in our hearts to attend the lesson for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are explaining the creed of Imam al-Tahawi, who was amongst the prominent Salaf. He died in the year 321 after Hijrah. His book is very famous, and many scholars in the past and present as well wrote an explanation of this book, The Creed of Imam al-Tahawi, due to its importance. In this book, he summarized the belief of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, the belief of the Prophet, the companions, the followers, and the followers of the followers. In this book, he says, what means Allah is Hayy, alive, who does not die, and Qayyum, which means everlasting, who does not sleep. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is attributed with the attribute of life. However, the life of Allah is not like our life. It doesn't resemble our life in any way. Our life is a combination of flesh, blood, bones, and soul. However, the life of Allah is in no way similar to our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not overcome by exhaustion, sleep, or death. Allah is Al-Qayyum. Al-Qayyum, one of its meanings is that the one who does not come to an end, meaning everlasting. Another meaning for it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need any of the creations, and also the one who manages everything in this universe. He is the creator, Al-Khaliq, with no need of the creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the creation without him benefiting from them or warding any harm of himself by them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the creations as a manifestation of his power, as an indication of Allah's power. If you look around about these magnificent creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will reflect the greatness of God. That will reflect the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala said, وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Even if you look at yourself, you can see the manifestation of the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the way you breathe, in the way you eat and drink, in the way your body gets nurtured, all these are signs about the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In everything Allah created, there is a sign. indication about the power and the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the poets in the past said a verse of poetry in which he mentioned that how would a person disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or denies his existence, and in every creation there is a sign about the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you look at the insects, if you look at the ants, the bees, in everything there is an indication of the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can see the bee, how it makes honey, how it goes in the morning looking for the nectar to feed, then it makes the honey, and the bee doesn't know what honey does, the benefits of honey. So it does all this. If you monitor the bee from the time it leaves the hive till it comes back, till it makes the honey, it doesn't know the benefits of honey. That means it is created for a purpose that bee itself doesn't know it. We as human beings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created minds for us, and by these minds we would be able to analyze things, to weigh things. So we know the benefits of honey, and the bee itself that makes it doesn't know it. So in every creation of Allah, there is an indication about the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who provides all sustenance, al-raziq, without any effort. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides His creation with the sustenance without any labor. He creates for them without resorting to movement, instrument, or contact. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates things without making any physical movement. If we were to do something, we put effort towards it, we make some physical movements, we become in contact with that thing we are making. This is how we make things. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates without physical movement and without labor. He inflicts death without fear and resurrects without toil. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inflicts death on His slaves, not because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fear from His slaves to be harmed by them, no. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring them back to existence after death, they will be resurrected on the day for judgment with an equal ease. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كَمَا بَدَأْنَا أَوَّلَ خَلْقٍ نُعِيدُهُ. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala originated the creation, Allah will resurrect that creation. There was a group of non-believers in the past who did not believe in resurrection, the resurrection of the bodies after death. Before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of them at the time of the Prophet is Al-As ibn Wa'il. Once came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with decayed bones of a dead body, one that died a while ago, the bones are decayed, they became fragile, they can be crushed easily, and he started crushing them by his hands. And he said to the Prophet, O Muhammad, would your Lord be able to resurrect these bones after they have decayed in such a way? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, Allah will resurrect them and resurrect you and admit you to hellfire. This is because it was revealed to the Prophet that this person, Al-As ibn Wa'il, will not believe in God. He will remain as a non-believer until death. So he will be admitted into hellfire. For that reason, the Prophet said to him, يَبْعَثُهَا وَيَبْعَثُكَ ثُمَّ يُدْخِلُكَ النَّارِ. Allah will resurrect these bones, will resurrect you and will admit you to hellfire on the day of judgment. And you know the story of the people of the cave, those who were before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and those who went to the cave, and by the power of Allah they slept for 309 years. And that was for a wisdom, for a reason, to prove resurrection. And during that period of time, the king, who was a tyrant king, non-believer, at the time, at the beginning, died. And other kings ruled. After 300 years, there was a Muslim king ruling that region. And he was worried that some people started questioning resurrection, doubting about resurrection. And he used to make supplication to Allah Azza wa Jal not to make these people be tempted by the whisperings of the devil, so they won't reach a stage where they deny resurrection. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the people of the cave, the young men, wake up after 309 years. When they came back to the city to buy some food, from the coins they had, they were recognized. Some people thought they found a treasure. 300 years passed on these coins. Then they introduced them to that king, and they told him their story, how they went away from that king, who was an unbeliever, who wanted to force them to leave Islam, and they fled so they can preserve their religion. They went into that cave and they slept, and they thought they slept for a day or less, where in fact they slept for 309 years. When their news became spread amongst people, that confirmed in their hearts the matter of resurrection, that Allah resurrects the bodies on the day of judgment. So Allah inflicts death on His slaves, not because Allah fears that they might inflict harm on Him, no. And Allah resurrects them on the day of judgment without toil. He, having His attributes, exists eternally, meaning without a beginning, before His creation. By creating them, He did not gain an attribute which was not His before creating them, as He, having His attributes, has been in eternity, so He will forever remain. This means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is eternal, meaning His existence is without a beginning, because Allah is the creator. Because had He had a beginning, He would have been a creation. But Allah is the creator, is not a creation. So His existence is without a beginning.
And all the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are eternal without a beginning as well. Because Allah is eternal without a beginning, His attributes are eternal without a beginning. Because if the attributes are not eternal, they have a beginning, that would entail that Allah, the self of Allah, is not eternal. And this is impossible. So because the self of Allah is eternal without a beginning, His attributes must be without a beginning as well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not gain any attribute by creating the creations. So as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was before creating the creations, He is still as He was after creating the creations. Simply because Allah does not change. Allah is the creator. Allah does not change. And change is the most obvious sign that such a thing is a creation. So if you look at yourself and you see the changes that occur in you, you know that you are a creation because of these changes. Since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator, Allah does not change. Because creating the place does not change any of Allah's attributes. So those who claim that Allah is in a place or direction or in the sky or above the throne, or they claim that Allah is everywhere in all places, you tell them who created the places and they tell you Allah. Then you tell them, Allah exists before creating the places. So, since Allah exists before creating the places, that means Allah exists without a place. After creating the places, Allah does not change. So Allah still exists without a place. Very simple. Because if someone claims that after creating the places, Allah dwelled in these places or in any of them, that would mean that Allah changed, was without a place, then became in a place, that is a change. And God does not change because He is God, He is the creator. Then Imam al-Tahawi said, it was not that after creating the creations, He gained the name Al-Khaliq, the Creator. Similarly, it was not that after originating the beings, He gained the name Al-Bari, the Originator. So Allah is called Al-Khaliq, the Creator, before creating the creations. Allah is called Al-Bari, the Originator, before originating the creations. It is not because Allah created the creations that Allah became the creator. No. Allah is the creator before creating the creations. Allah is the originator before originating the creations. That's the meaning of it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not change. And by creating the creations, Allah did not gain any name or attribute. Allah did not gain any name or attribute by creating the creations. He has the attribute of lordship before the existence of the slaves and the attribute of creating before the existence of any creation. As we say, Allah is the Lord. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the attribute of lordship, He is the Lord, before creating the slaves. You know, we say about Allah, Allah is our Lord. Yeah, even before creating us, Allah is the Lord. That's the meaning of it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is attributed with the attribute of creating before the existence of the creation. So this is to confirm the sentence before, when we say creating the creations does not add to the attributes or names of Allah. All the names of Allah and attributes are eternal, without a beginning, without an end. So Imam al-Tahawi is confirming this fundamental matter of the Islamic belief, that Allah is the creator before creating the creations. Allah is the Lord before creating the slaves. Allah is the Lord of all the slaves. Allah is the Lord of all the slaves. But Allah is not worshipped by all the slaves, unfortunately. There are some people who worship other than their Lord. But the Lord of all the slaves is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is a difference, brothers and sisters, here when we say Allah is our Lord, Allah is the Lord of all the slaves, and when you say that Allah is not worshipped by all the slaves. Allah is the Lord of all the slaves, but Allah is not worshipped by all the slaves. For that reason, you don't say about the non-believers who follow other than the religion of Islam, you don't say about them, they believe in God, because they don't have the correct belief in God. They don't have it. They might be worshipping a human being or an object or another creation. So they don't believe in God. The Muslim is the one that believes in God. If one has the correct belief in Allah and His Messenger, you can say about him, he is a believer. But all of them, whether Muslims or non-Muslims, you can call them the slaves of God. Because we are the slaves of God. Everyone from the slaves, you can call him the slave of God. But whether they believe in God or not, that's something different. That's another matter. But they are all the slaves of God. But it doesn't mean they all believe in God as their creator. Inasmuch as Allah is the one who gives life to the dead, Al-Muhyi, after He first created them, He deserved this name before He gave them life. He also deserved the name, the creator, before bringing the creation into being. Very nice statement. You know, on the day of judgment, the slaves will be resurrected. Allah will bring them back to life. Now, bringing these slaves back to life is al-ihya, al-ihya, to bring them back to life. Allah is called al-muhyi, the one who brings these ones back to life. It's gonna happen on the day of judgment. So before it happens, Allah is called Al-Muhyi, the one who brings these ones back to life, the dead back to life. That's on the day of resurrection, when they will be resurrected on the day of judgment. So we call Allah Al-Muhyi. He's saying, so as much as we use that expression when we say Allah is Al-Muhyi, the one who brings the dead back to life, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserved this name before He gave them life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserved the name the Creator before bringing the creations into existence. On the day of judgment, everyone will be resurrected. It doesn't matter how many thousands of years have passed. On this one in his grave, everyone will be resurrected. Even when his body decays. There are some bodies that do not decay. Once the Prophet ﷺ said, the best of your days is Friday. In it, Adam was created. And in it, he was sent out of paradise. And in it is the time for blowing in the horn when everyone dies. So the day for judgment will occur on Friday. And in it is the time for resurrection. So when it's the day of Friday, make a lot of salah on me. Because your salah, when we say Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa sallim, that salah will be displayed before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then one of the companions asked the Prophet, how would our salah on you be displayed before you and your body have decayed, meaning after your death, by a long time? Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, Allah forbade the earth from making the bodies of the prophets decay. So the earth would not affect the bodies of the prophet. Their bodies will remain the same, they will never decay. Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, as you know, was he at a time the ruler of Egypt. And he died and was buried in Egypt. But he made a will that he wanted his body to be transported to Palestine to be buried with his father and grandfather. He is the son of Jacob. Jacob is the son of Isaac. Isaac is the son of Abraham. All these prophets are buried in Palestine. So he made a will that he wanted his body to be transported to Palestine to be buried with his father and grandfather and the like. After thousands of years, Musa alayhi salam, Moses was departing Egypt to Palestine with the believers. And he wanted to fulfill the will of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, that his body would be transported to Palestine. But he wanted to know the grave of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. He started asking, who knows the grave of Prophet Yusuf? Apparently no one at that time had any idea about the place of his grave, except an old lady. They said to him, that old lady knows where his grave is. He brought her and he asked her to guide him to the place where the grave of Prophet Yusuf is. She said, I will tell you, but I have a request. And he said, what is it? She said, that I'll be with you in paradise. Now she had this request of Prophet Musa alayhi salam. Prophet Musa alayhi salam didn't say to her straight away, I'll give you your request, because such a matter is so great. So he would be in need to a revelation to confirm to her that yes, you are going to be with me in paradise. He waited until he received the revelation from Allah to give her her request. Then Musa alayhi salam told her this. So she got the good tiding that she's going to be in paradise. Then she guided them to that place. There was a well, and she told them to take the water out of that well and to dig in that place. They did, and they found his body as if he died right now, as it is, after all these years. And they took his body to Palestine and they buried him in that blessed country. Also as well, some martyrs, like those who died in the Battle of Mu'tah in Jordan, after hundreds of years, some people were digging in that place and they discovered one of the bodies. Also, it was mentioned that that area became flooded at a point in time, and some of these bodies floated on the surface of the water, and they were as if they died now, and they were bleeding. So the martyrs as well, their bodies won't decay, and some righteous Muslims. It was mentioned as well that after 120 years, the grave of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu experienced a type of slide in his grave, and his feet were shown. People saw his feet after that period of time, 120 years. And he was the same, as if he died at that moment. So, also, some other righteous Muslims who died in the past, like Amr ibn Salah, who was very righteous, after about 700, 800 years in Ash-Sham, they were making some development in that area, and accidentally they reached his grave. They didn't know that his grave is in that area, and he was seen as if he died at that moment as well. Not even his shroud that they shrouded him with decayed. So his body and his shroud didn't decay after all these years, about 800 years. He was very famous in the past. He's like Imam Shafi'i radiallahu anhu. He mastered the knowledge of hadith as well. He died, and after all these years, when they were making the development in that area, they discovered his body and the shroud that he was buried in, and they did not decay. As for others who are not prophets, martyrs, or righteous Muslims, their bodies will decay. The bodies of the non-believers will decay definitely. And also the bodies of the Muslims who are sinners and who are not righteous. Their bodies will decay. The flesh will decay, the bones will decay, and nothing remains except for Ashb al-Zanab. It's the tip of the tailbone. Tailbone at the end of the vertebral column, and it's like very small. It's like the sesame seed. It's very, very small. That's called Ashb al-Zanab. If you were to burn it, it doesn't get burned. So even when they do the cremation, you know, when they do the cremation for a body and they burn it, that remains, doesn't get burned. The Prophet said about this small bone, مِنْهُ خُلِقَ ابْنُ آدَمْ وَعَلَيْهِ يُرَكَّبُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Meaning, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the human beings, they were structured on this small bone. And on the day of judgment, when it's the time for resurrection, their bodies will be structured again on that little bone. So the skeleton will be structured, the skeleton will be covered with the flesh, and the soul will come back to the body, and the graves will be cut open, and people will be resurrected, will come out of their graves. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith, "Ana awwalu man yanshaqqu anhu al-qabr." Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the first one to be resurrected. Then the people of Mecca, Medina, and At-Ta'if will be resurrected before others as well on the day of judgment. He said, this is because Allah has power over all things. Everything needs Him, and every matter is easy for Him. He does not need anything. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, which means nothing resembles Allah in any way, and He is attributed with hearing and sight. In this ayah, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, there is a clear evidence that Allah does not resemble any of the creations in any way whatsoever. Linguistically, Laysa is a term used to negate Laysa, to mean no. There is no resemblance to the creations. Laysa. Kamislihi, we have the kaf. This kaf is to emphasize the negation of any resemblance of Allah to the creations. So the scholar said this ayah is the clearest ayah in negating any type, any form of resemblance between Allah and the creations. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. And look at the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are reading this ayah, first you read, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. So you dispel any notion of resembling Allah to the creations. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. Allah does not resemble any of the creations. So you won't have any misinterpretation. You learned this is very muhkam ayah. Meaning the meaning is obvious, clear. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. Then when you continue reading, you are going to read وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Allah is attributed with hearing and sight. So the beginning of the ayah negates any resemblance between Allah and the creations. Then when you read the second part of the ayah, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, which means Allah is attributed with hearing and sight, put him next to each other, you conclude what the scholars of Islam mentioned, which is the creed of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that the hearing of Allah is not like our hearing, and the sight of Allah is not like our sight. So in one ayah, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, nothing resembles Allah in any way whatsoever, and Allah is attributed with hearing and sight. So the second part of the ayah confirms that Allah is attributed with hearing and sight. So Ahl Sunnah relied on this whole ayah as a whole. So they said, Allah is attributed with attributes, so they don't negate or deny the attributes of Allah. But based on the first part of the ayah, they say, the attributes of Allah are not like our attributes. While the mushabbiha, the mujassima, those who liken Allah to the creations, they say the sight of Allah is like our sight, the hearing of Allah is like our hearing, the kalam of Allah is like our kalam, and so on. So they liken Allah to the creations. And there is a group in the past as well called Al-Mu'tazila. They negated the attributes of Allah. So a group negated the attributes of Allah. Another group didn't negate them, but they gave them the attributes of the creations. But Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah are in the middle. They confirmed the attributes of Allah with no resemblance to the attributes of the creations. Imam al-Tahawi said, Allah brought the creation into existence in accordance with his knowledge. So Allah knew eternally the number of creations he would create. He knew eternally every detail about them. He did create them according to this eternal knowledge. So nothing would happen against the will of Allah and against the knowledge of Allah. Whatever Allah knew eternally that it's going to happen, that means Allah willed for it to happen at that exact time. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that it's not going to happen, that means it's not going to happen. That means Allah didn't will for it to happen. So we all here refer to this and we say the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in accordance with his knowledge. What does that mean? Whatever Allah knew that it's going to happen, that means Allah willed for it to happen. In contrary to the case of the creations, you might will something, but it turns up to happen in a way different to your will. And that when you become what? Surprised. Because that is against your knowledge. Let us say, you might send your son to learn in a country. You send him to that country to learn at the university to become a doctor. And you are working very hard, sending him money, hoping that now he finished the first year, the second year, and so on. After a few years, while you are expecting that your son has become a doctor, you receive the news that your son is in jail. Why? Because he was dealing with drugs, he got caught, now he is in jail. And he never learned. He never went to university. You become shocked and surprised. Because what happened here is against your knowledge. What you know about your son is that your son is studying. Then you become surprised. That's not the case with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah knows every detail about his slaves before creating them. And Allah said, وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَحْصَيْنَاهُ فِي إِمَامٍ مُبِينٍ. Everything is written in the preserved tablet, in the guarded tablet, Allawh al-Mahfuz. Before creating human beings, the pen by the power of Allah wrote on the guarded tablet everything from the beginning of the creation till the day of judgment. So whatever you do now, whatever you say, is all written in the preserved tablet, in the guarded tablet. Then Imam al-Tahawi said, he meted out matters for them. Allah allotted for his creation what they have in accordance with his eternal knowledge and destiny. He allotted their obedience and disobedience, wealth and poverty, health and sickness and the like. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who willed for the creations to get what they're having in this life. So everything you get in this life is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed for you to get. If you don't get something, this is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not will for you to get it. No matter how much you try, if Allah did not will for you to get it, you won't get it. That's why you always should make your reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes you might get something in your hand and you think that's it, I got it. But if Allah did not will for you to get it, you won't get it even if it is in your hand. I'll give you one example. And inshallah we finish our lesson with this example. One of the righteous Muslims, he died. He was in Lebanon. Shaykh Ahmad Sayyadi, rahimahullah. People of northern Lebanon know about him. Once he said to one of the sheikhs, "Oh my son, no one gets anything in this life except what Allah willed for them." And he said, "Listen to this." He said, "Once I was eating a bunch of grapes. I ate all of it." He ate all of it except for one grape. That was the last one. He was enjoying eating these grapes. Now the last one, he wanted to eat it in a special way. You know, it happens with you sometimes. You eat something, you are enjoying the last one. You don't want to eat it quickly. You want to have a special enjoyment eating that last one. So he said, "So I threw it in the air up so I can swallow it." That's a different way. And he opened his mouth. It came straight back down into his mouth. However, got stuck in his throat. He said, "I tried to swallow it, I couldn't. I tried to throw it out, I couldn't. I was getting choked. I put effort either to swallow it into my stomach or to throw it out. I couldn't. I was about to die, get choked by it. In the end, I succeeded to throw it out." He coughed strongly and he was able to throw it out, and it rolled on the ground. As it was rolling on the ground, there was a little boy, 3 years old, was walking. He grabbed it and ate it. Allah did not will for him to eat that last one. So although it was in his hand, not only in his hand, it reached his throat, it wasn't meant to be for him. That little boy didn't buy it. So he didn't work, he didn't buy it. Someone else bought it and someone else was eating it. It reached his throat, but it wasn't meant to be for him. This is an example that whatever you get in your life is what Allah willed for you to get. And what you can't get, this is because Allah did not will for you to get. So you should always rely on Allah Azza wa Jalla. That's why we say, "Tawakkalna ala Allah." You rely on Allah and you move on. But what's going to happen, God knows. Whether you're going to achieve this thing or not, Allah knows. But you rely on Allah and you move forward. That's what you need to do. You get sick, you say, "Oh Allah, cure me." What's going to happen next, you don't know. Are you going to become worse? Or are you going to get cured? You don't know. That's why you rely on Allah Azza wa Jal. You rely on Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Because Allah is the one who created the creations. Allah knows everything about them. Allah is the one who willed for them the sustenance, wealth, poverty, sickness, health and the like. All that is predestined by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. You know, some people might be looking at doing something, then it turned out to be different. Against their expectations. No one knows what's going to happen tomorrow. You might be building a future for yourself, then suddenly you get sick and you spend the rest of your life in hospital until you die. The hopes, the future in your mind, all gone. That's why we're going to reach a statement of Imam al-Tahawi when he mentioned that we are always dependent on Allah Azza wa Jalla. We cannot be independent in every move we make. Because Allah is your creator. Allah is the one who is controlling you. So you are dependent fully on Allah Azza wa Jalla. So when you see yourself coming to lessons, practicing your religion, thank Allah Azza wa Jal for guiding you to this. Otherwise, blame no one but yourself. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to what is beneficial for us in this life and in the hereafter, and Allah knows best. We say La ilaha illallah 3 times.